Welcome to the Planet Prana Yoga and Meditation Podcast with your host, Zen Jen. My mission is to spread awareness about the practice of yoga and to shine a spotlight on the amazing yoga community of Cleveland, Ohio. Practice, connect, grow, and heal. Hello there, and welcome to episode 12. Thank you so much for checking us out and listening in today. I truly appreciate your time. And also, thank you so much for the great response to episode 11 and the kickoff to season 2. I'm really excited to share with my listeners about our amazing yoga community here in Cleveland. It really is spectacular with so many great things happening. And I also encourage you to please keep providing feedback on social media and feel free to add comments to my website or social media posts, or even feel free to email me at planetprana@gmail.com. Before I get to the episode, I wanted to talk a little bit about stress. I myself, and I think most of us, do experience stress at different levels most days. And the toll of acute stress and chronic stress can really add up and wreak havoc on our body, on our being. So I want to share just a simple practice to relieve stress in the moment. And when I say in the moment, I mean like driving to work in heavy traffic, waiting in line at the grocery store or any shopping experience, on hold, customer service hold, or just dealing with difficult people, having difficult conversations, which we all do often. So this is a technique I just learned from a book that I read called De-Stressify by David G. David G is a yoga and meditation teacher. He has a couple books that I've recently read, and I've become a fan and become a fan of his lots of online resources for yoga and meditation. But in the book De-Stressify, he talks about this one particular tool he calls 16 seconds. And what he calls it is a pattern interrupt. So it just takes you out of that stressful moment and pulls you out of it into a more calm and steady place. And all of that happens in a matter of 16 seconds. And what it simply is one full round of breath and pausing. And so you inhale to the count of four. You hold that inhale to the count of four. You exhale to the count of four. And then you hold the exhale to the count of four. So let's do it together. I'd like to guide you through that. So let's just first take one cleansing breath together. So we'll all take a nice big inhale. And then release that either through the nose or the mouth. Inhale, two, three, four. Hold, two, three, four. Exhale, two, three, four. Hold, two, three, four. And now just continue to breathe normally. And just maybe take a notice. Do you feel any different? Check it out. Let me know how you like that. Use that anytime you feel it necessary in the moment stress relief. Okay, so now on to today's episode. Today I'm highlighting another new great 200-hour yoga teacher training at Abide Yoga in Cleveland's Larchmere Arts District. And I have two separate conversations, one with Hope Hood and the other with Annie Siegel. Both are yoga teachers who will be leading this training. Hope Hood opened Abide Yoga in July of 2014 and has been devoted to the practice of yoga since 2000. She believes that everybody can do yoga and that you can start exactly where you are, flexible or unable to touch your toes, calm and centered or a scattered multitasker, healthy or sick. Everyone can do it and everyone can benefit. Focusing on the breath and linking it with physical movement is one of the best ways to achieve mental clarity. Through the years, the practice of yoga has been her heart's home, providing a creative outlet, a shelter from the demands of life, a learning laboratory, and a lens through which to view the world. Her goal as a teacher is to provide her students with the caring support needed to face life's challenges. In addition, Hope is also a huge fan of the Coen brothers' movie, The Big Lebowski, and sees many parallels between the practice of yoga and the life of the dude. Truly, the practice of yoga has tied her whole life together. So the name of the studio and the class titles are inspired by the parts of the film. So you can find a link to Hope's full bio in the show notes. So let's talk about Annie Siegel. Annie Siegel is a native Clevelander who has been immersed in the local yoga community for the past 16 years. She has been a dedicated student of yoga since the late 1990s and a certified yoga teacher since 2005. She is so thrilled to be leading her first yoga teacher training at Abide Yoga. I've also provided a link to her full bio in the show notes. In our conversations, we discuss the mission and philosophy of Abide Yoga, dudist principles and the ties to yoga, the Abide Yoga teacher training curriculum and who should take the training, why Hope and Annie became yoga teachers and some background about their own practice, the Abide Yoga community, some healthy stress relief tools, daily self-care techniques. I asked Hope and Annie about their favorite yoga resource, and I also asked them both what their favorite yoga class is in Cleveland. So you'll hear all of that in our conversation. And just a few final notes here about the podcast. The podcast always lives at the website, planetprana.com. Each episode has its own post with show notes and resources. Also, information about the CLE Yoga Teachers Kula, which I founded a few years back, and a local yoga directory on the website as well. I ask you kindly to please help me spread the word about the podcast by sharing with friends and family who may be interested, and you may also post a review on iTunes to help me get more exposure. That's a big one. Reviews on iTunes. Help me out there, please. And then, as always, I like to remind you about your true nature before we get on to the episode. You are a radiant, boundless being of light and vibration. Be guided by love and compassion for yourself, for all beings, and for our beautiful home, planet Earth. Thank you so much again for listening, and enjoy episode 12. All right, so I'm here at Abide Yoga on Larchmere in the Shaker Square Larchmere District on the east side of Cleveland with owner of and teacher, Hope Hood. And we're going to talk a little bit about Abide Yoga and the upcoming 200-hour yoga teacher training, the first one here at Abide, a new one here in Cleveland, which is why I wanted to shine a spotlight on it, because I think that we needed some fresh teacher training in Cleveland. So I'm excited for you guys, really excited. Hope's going to be teaching this with Annie. Annie and I interviewed in a separate interview. So for this podcast, we'll have them kind of separate. Well, they'll be in the same recording, but separate interviews, not together. All right, so Hope, I want you to first tell me about Abide Yoga and its mission and philosophy and what makes it unique.
Okay, well, Abide Yoga is a small neighborhood yoga studio. We can have about 15 mats per class, so it's always very small, always very personal. What makes it a little bit different is our schedule. Our schedule has a wide variety of different classes. We offer vinyasa classes, we offer restorative and yin classes, probably more restorative and yin classes than your average studio. And we've got some really great teachers. But I think the thing that makes it most different is that it is loosely tied to the movie The Big Lebowski, which I am a huge fan of and have always been a big fan of that movie. And for a number of years, it was like a joke. It was like a running joke with me and my friends that I would open up Abide Yoga. And then I moved here to Cleveland, and lo and behold, there was a space, and we opened it. So I like to think that people who come to Abide are generally like pretty easygoing, rather curious, creative people come here. We all are a community, and we all get along very well, and it's great to see all of the friendships that have arisen from people meeting each other in the studio, and it's just a lovely little place. So, yeah, I don't know. Other than that, our schedule, The Big Lebowski, I'm bad at these interview things.
No, you're not. You're great. And if you look at the website and you look at the schedule of classes, some of them, the names of the classes even reflect the film too, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, like our restorative class is called Calmer Than You Are, you know, which is a classic Walter Sobchak quote from the movie. So, yeah. Every year on March 6th, which is the Day of the Dude, that's the date that The Big Lebowski came out, we have a Day of the Dude yoga class, and there is music inspired by the movie and by the dude, and it's a whole lot of fun. People come in costume, so good times. Yeah.
Yeah, and even when the Cedar Lee plays The Big Lebowski, you invite the community to go and watch the film together, and I've done that with you, and it's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. So much fun. Yeah, there's a really great group of people who comes every year. So
Well, just from my experience of practicing here and being in this space, it definitely is one of my favorite studios in Cleveland, and such a great, it is the most relaxed space, and it's, you know, that's what's great about yoga. You want to feel comfortable in your practice space, and this is a very comfortable practice space for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely try our very best to accommodate every single person that walks in the door. We're not for everybody, it's true.
Right, yeah.
but we definitely, we do our very best to make sure that everybody feels comfortable and welcome, and that's about it,
All right, so tell me about, so with the film, The Big Lebowski, the main character has this philosophy that's kind of evolved from the film, the dudist philosophy. So tell me a little bit about the dudist philosophy and then how it's similar to the yogic philosophy.
Yeah, well, there's this great line in the movie, and the dude talks about keeping his mind limber. And he does it through some more, shall we say, dubious ways. White Russians and various other substances. But he has this uncanny ability to never get too hung up on what's going on around him. He has this ability to come back to his center, whatever that is, and to live his life in a kind of relaxed, like stress-free manner. And so I find great inspiration in that. It's different for every single person. The dude likes to smoke joints and drink White Russians. I like to do restorative yoga and ride my bike, you know. But the whole idea is that, like, he is the ultimate Zen master, basically. He has a real grip on his life, and he, you know, knows what to do for himself so that he can feel good in his life.
Yeah, that's a good way to live.
Yeah.
We could definitely all use some lessons.
Yeah.
And there is a book, right?
Yeah. So there are a number of books about this. One that I'm looking at right now is The Dude Da Ching, which is, it's hilarious, but it's basically, it's basically like the Tao Te Ching, but with lines from The Big Lebowski. Mm-hmm. So if you're ever at the studio, you can pick it up and page through and get a laugh from that. There's the Abide Guide, which is all about how to live like the dude, and it's kind of a humorous read, so I recommend those if you're interested in dudist philosophy, for sure.
And being that you're hosting this 200-hour teacher training out of Abide, will there be any of the dudist philosophy incorporated into the training?
So, like, I feel that the training embodies the dudist philosophy. Like, we're a lot of the training is going to be in yin and restorative yoga and finding your authentic voice, which I think is not something that's really out there in teacher trainings. Like, in a lot of teacher trainings, you learn kind of like a script, or you learn specific sequences, and you go from there, and you pass along those sequences. The whole idea behind this training is that you really work to, like, inform yourself about your needs, and then you kind of share your practice with everybody else. So while the dude is for me, I acknowledge that he might not be for everybody. Uh-huh. This, you know, but yeah, I mean, I'm co-leading the training with Annie Siegel, and I'm sure I'll definitely be incorporating little bits here and there. But there won't be any formal dudist training. Unless, of course, you want that, and I could certainly throw it in, but yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It's really awesome. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little more about the teacher training. So you mentioned a little bit about what the focus will be. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could go a little deeper into what maybe the curriculum might be, and then what else makes it unique, you know, from other yoga teacher trainings in the city of Cleveland?
Sure. So, basically, the whole idea is that it's going to be very meditation heavy. There's mm-hmm. going to be a whole lot of meditation in this program, and it's going to help you to understand what your gifts are mm-hmm. so that you can share them with other people. And there's definitely going to be like the standard alignment-based training where you're learning about how to do the asanas, how to teach the asanas to people. There's yin and restorative yoga, so you'll learn how to use props and how to get people comfortable. We're going to learn about yogic philosophy. We're going to learn about Ayurveda, mm-hmm. which is a really big deal, in my opinion, Amen. As far as learning how to take care of yourself and how to take care of other people based on the seasons and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a focus on practice teaching. I have heard, although I don't have any direct experience with this, but I've heard that some teacher trainings don't actually require you to do much teaching. So I'm going to do what we did in my teacher training, which is we're going to start practice teaching from day one, pretty much. You're going to learn how to teach a class. You're going to learn how to really read the room. You're going to learn how to do things kind of on the fly if you need to, because inevitably there will always be that student that walks in that throws off your plan. So the idea is to get comfortable teaching, and that's going to be woven throughout the entire training.
That's really yeah. good news.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
excellent. Yeah. That's good. So it could be, someone who might be interested in this program could be somebody also who wants to deepen their practice as well and mm-hmm. not teach.
That's true,
but
yeah.
But they could definitely, they'll definitely come out with the skills to teach.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. It couldn't hurt to have those skills, and we don't yeah. call it a teacher training for no reason.
Like exactly.
It's definitely more than just deepening your practice. Although if you do just want to deepen your practice, then yeah, mm-hmm. this is a great place to learn all yeah. about yin, all about restorative, different meditation techniques, yogic philosophy, anatomy, mm-hmm. Ayurveda. All of these things will be covered in this training.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. I took a picture of the books, Annie, because I went to the informational yeah. meeting, and so I will be posting all the books that you'll be using mm-hmm. for this training on the website podcast post for this particular episode. So
excellent.
I'm going to put as much information as I can about the training. So let's go a little more about, let's see here. Oh, here's a good one. What are you most excited about teaching this particular YTT in this community?
Oh my gosh, I can't even tell you. So the people who have signed up for this training so far are some of my favorite people on the planet.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
We so far have 7 people signed up, and I love each and every one of them. They're all regular people who come here. With the exception of one woman who I met, and she's lovely. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's such a diverse group of people.
Yeah.
This is a real diverse group of people, mm-hmm. Age-wise, racially, economically diverse. Everybody's bringing something different to the table. And I feel like this training is going to be a great conversation between all of these different people, and like every good training should be.
Yeah.
But I feel like everybody is bringing something with them.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll take something away.
Yeah, that kind of gives you an opportunity as you teach the program to also learn while you're teaching from mm-hmm. each other, from the students that show up in front of you. They'll be learning from each other. They'll be learning from you and Annie. Mm-hmm. And you and Annie will be learning from them at the yeah. same time.
Yeah.
That's a great, that sounds perfect.
Yeah.
How many people are you going to have total in this training?
So we only have room for 12.
Okay.
So currently we have 7 signed up. So yeah. the training starts on October 14th. And if you're interested, you can contact me.
Okay.
All of my contact information is on the studio website.
Yeah. And I'll put a mm-hmm. link to all that in the show notes too, and mention great. That in the podcast too.
Cool.
Let's see. So let me ask you a little bit about your background, telling me about your practice and then why you became a yoga teacher yourself.
Yeah. Okay. So I started practicing, 17 years ago. That's when I started practicing regularly. The first time I did yoga was before that. Mm-hmm. And I was just always kind of drawn to it because I felt like it helped me to slow down, to calm down, to like be focused, and to feel peaceful. So I started practicing regularly about 17 years ago, and, in 2010, or 11? I can't remember. I decided to become a teacher. And this was after about a dozen years of practicing.
Yeah.
I never thought I wanted to teach yoga. And then I found my teacher. Mm-hmm. And my teacher, just being in her presence and going to her classes and seeing what she did, made me realize that yoga could be so much more than just doing poses. That it could be like a true devotional practice and like truly like a life changer. So once I started studying with her, then I felt compelled to share, you know, what I knew with other people. And so I took her training. Unfortunately, got pregnant. I love my daughter, but I definitely was
for the
very
teaching
sick.
Path.
I was very sick, and I had to drop out about halfway through. So then when my daughter was a little bit older, then I went back and completed the whole program. And then I moved to Cleveland and was looking for a yoga studio that had all of what I was looking for at my other studio in New York and couldn't find it. So I said, let me just open one.
Yeah.
Crazy thoughts. So, yeah. But I've loved every second
crazy,
of it.
Crazy, awesome thoughts.
Yeah, awesome crazy.
Yeah. yeah. Okay, good, so crazy, tell, yeah. who is your teacher and where did you do your training?
Sure. So my teacher is Kelly Kam, and she is no longer the owner of Happy Buddha Yoga in Goshen, New York, but she formerly was the owner of Happy Buddha Yoga in Goshen, New York, and she currently teaches there, and she teaches at a variety of other studios and runs retreats and things like that, but mm-hmm. she's just a lovely individual and has this way of bringing like deep joy to practicing yoga. And I think before I studied with her, I thought that yoga was just about like working out, but it was like it's seriously like a joyful practice for her, and I was like, oh man, I want some of that.
It's a game changer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
I've heard students here at Abide say that about their own practice when they found Abide.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting how it's you're creating that same type of discovery for people who've already been involved with yoga. Obviously didn't realize the vast nature of the practice.
Yeah.
And
they're
finding it here.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's
it's
great
super
to hear.
Cool.
Yeah.
So on a side note, I will say in the interview that Hope and I graduated from the same high school in upstate New York, Munising Valley High School.
It's
totally
so
random. And we met in Cleveland. So it's really cool.
Yeah.
Cool little connection.
Oh yeah.
How would you describe the difference between teaching teachers mm-hmm. versus teaching, you know, the regular students that show up to the group classes?
So I love teaching teachers. And the reason mm-hmm. why I love teaching teachers is because they have a real grip on what they need to do to make it their practice mm-hmm. and what they need to do for themselves. And so in any given class, I have a couple of teachers maybe practicing, and I'm looking around for inspiration, like, what are they doing over there? Oh my God, that's amazing, you know. It's just so cool to be around that type of energy of people who are confident in their needs mm-hmm. as a yogi. So I'm a big fan of asking people to do what feels right in this space, and I think that that's maybe something that's also a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I ask my class to do what they, you know, move how they want to move, feel what they need to feel in this pose. And I look around and I see, you know, 10 different people doing 10 different things. It really warms my heart. Yeah. So, and I feel like teachers kind of bring that to the table here.
Yeah.
Yeah. It creates this culture of creativity. It creates this culture of people wanting to be curious about their own practice.
And, yeah.
And for me, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That sounds great. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really a privilege to teach teachers, too. When you get to this stage in your teaching career, it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and it's so fun.
It takes everything to a whole nother level, for sure.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Would you say that you have a mission statement as a teacher, or, you know...
So I've never thought about it formally like that.
Well, but... and the reason why I asked, because... Yeah. I was given this assignment in my 500-hour teacher training.
Is that right?
To create a mission statement.
Awesome.
And I had never thought about it either. And I was like, huh, so I wonder how many teachers actually do teach with a mission.
Yeah.
If not, it's not a big deal, but...
So, like, I, you know, I'm just on the fly, I think that if I have a mission, it's for me to create a space where people can feel... like they are safe to explore what their needs are physically, energetically at the moment, to never feel like they can't take care of themselves here.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah,
to allow people to really create their own practice.
Yeah.
And just allow me to be the guide.
Yeah.
As opposed to me telling them what to do. So.
I would say you embody that mission pretty well. Mm. In your classes, I feel that definite.
Mm.
Ability to explore, for sure. It just, you know, being on the mat as a student in your class.
Yeah. Cool.
Which is great. Yeah.
Awesome.
If I decided to do something totally different, you wouldn't care.
No.
I would encourage it.
I remember one time you came to my class and you were tired and you laid in Shavasana for the last half an hour. And I was like, that's cool. Jen's tired. She needs to chill. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. You gotta do what you gotta do. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Perfect.
It's all good.
So what can one expect in your classes, your general group classes? If a total stranger is coming and they're like, oh, I'm kind of nervous. What do I do? What can one expect in Hope's classes?
In my classes, that's kind of a hard thing for me to say because I teach a few different types of classes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I would think that everybody can expect to be heard and to kind of be able to approach their practice in the way that they feel that they need to.
Mm-hmm.
If you need more direction, I can always help. If you need less, I'm perfectly willing to accept that too. So, yeah, just somebody who's there to guide them.
Yeah, flexibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel that too in your classes.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me a little bit about what you are working on in your own practice.
Oh boy, my own practice. So my own practice is just, it's so different from, you know, and it's always changing. My practice changes based on the seasons.
Yeah.
It changes based on what's going on in my life.
Yeah.
For the last year or so, I'm a mom of two young kids and I've been going through some life changes. So most of my practice has been like restorative yoga because I've been really just drained by everything going on.
Yeah.
But recently I've been feeling the need to be stronger. And so now my practice like currently has shifted to gaining physical strength and mental fortitude.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just found that that's been really helpful for me recently. So things fluctuate. Life changes and your yoga practice can change too.
Absolutely.
And I think that's like something that I really want to set forth for people who come in here. Hey, you know, today you might not want to do vinyasa. You might want to do some yin. You know, tomorrow you might need some restorative yoga. You know, it doesn't have to be the same thing day in and day out. There are choices.
So
there are so many choices. And
yeah.
There's no reason to deny yourself a variety.
And from a physical standpoint, too, encouraging a variety in your practice will also encourage, I think, better health physically.
Mm-hmm.
From the physical aspect, you're not going to get those overuse injuries that you see if you only practice power, vinyasa, and do chaturanga after chaturanga after chaturanga.
You don't ever have to do chaturanga here if you don't want to.
Only if you want to.
Yeah, if you want to, great. But otherwise, no worries.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely do see a number of people who come in with yoga-related injuries. It's a thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for folks like that, we work on just mm-hmm. bringing them back into their body and feeling comfortable and safe in their body doing their practice.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It happens.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that about your practice too. I feel that way about, in general, that people need to understand that the practice evolves just like life evolves. Mm-hmm. It's always somewhat changing mm-hmm. based on whatever your needs are. And it should change based on what your needs are.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with not being able to do things anymore mm-hmm. or outgrowing some kind of a practice. Mm-hmm. It's fine. This is your yeah. life, you know?
Totally
you
fine.
You have to roll with it.
I love that. Mm. Oh, here's a good one. So, the theme of the overall theme of the season for the podcast is to help people live better, live well, and to relieve stress, daily stress. I find that's definitely more and more of a factor in healthcare and just, you know, people need to know how an easy way to relieve stress. Mm-hmm. So what do you do in your daily life to relieve stress in a healthy way?
In a healthy way. Okay, well, yeah, we'll go to the healthy way. So I just recently started running and I love it. And I've been resisting it for years because I just always thought it was awful. But now, like, I find that that's a huge stress relief for me. I finally had that moment where I felt good running. And now I don't ever want to stop. Yeah.
That's the best.
And I also love to ride my bike. I like to spend time with my kids, usually trying to be active with them so that they're not, you know, just being hyperactive, I suppose. My kids are pretty active. I also enjoy cooking and going for walks. I don't know, basic stuff, really. But spending time with friends, seeing live music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorites, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
What would you say is your favorite, like, in-the-moment de-stressor?
Just, like, a big deep breath.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes absolutely. That's all you got, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, a big deep breath. And I typically also carry a bottle of, like, some kind of pleasant-smelling essential oil in my purse.
Absolutely.
So I can take a deep breath with some calming scent. So, yeah.
Yeah, same.
Mm-hmm. It's helpful.
Do you have a regular self-care regimen? I mean, I know with Ayurveda, at one point, my morning routine lasted about 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, now this is becoming a little too stressful.
Yeah.
So I had to back off, but I have a few things. Do you have anything that you do as a regular self-care regimen?
Yeah. So, I mean, I just am just kind of coming out of the fog of having two really little kids.
Yeah.
And now they're a little bit older and able to take care of themselves to some extent. So I have a little bit more time for myself. So hooray, I get to take a shower every day. That's something new.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, I do follow some of the Ayurvedic routine suggestions. I wake up and I drink a couple of big glasses of warm water. I scrape my tongue, you know. I'll occasionally do the oil massage, mm-hmm. Abhyanga, I think it's called, mm-hmm. on your body, where you're moving from your feet and bringing all of... So from the tips of the fingers and the toes up to the heart,
mm-hmm.
sort of improving circulation. I drink golden milk every night. Golden milk is incredible for if you are somebody who suffers with anxiety or if you have any issues sleeping. It's just some kind of like a nut milk with a bunch of spices in it, turmeric, nutmeg, cardamom, cinnamon.
Yeah.
It's super tasty. It puts you out like a light.
Is that warm? Do you do it warm?
It is warm.
Okay.
Yeah, it's warm and just very grounding. Yeah.
Will you give me a recipe for that?
Oh, yes.
And I'll post it on the podcast page.
Yeah, I can definitely do that.
Yeah, that's a big one, yeah.
Sure. And yeah, just besides that, I try to make sure that I spend at least, you know, an hour being active every day, you
mm-hmm.
know. I need that personally. I need to move. If I don't move, then I start to feel a little on edge. So I need that movement and that time with myself. And that's sort of a non-negotiable at this point in my life. So.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Let's see here. All right. A couple more questions.
Mm-hmm.
What is your favorite yoga resource? It could be, you know, book, online, podcast, whatever.
Yoga resource. Well, you know what? I have been really into So I think a lot of yogis know about Brooke Thomas's podcast, The Liberated Body, and mm-hmm. that's been a huge inspiration to me. Just,
it's one of my favorites.
It's the best. I mean, she's great. I have a feeling it's coming to a close, and I'm kind of sad about that.
Yeah.
But she's got another podcast coming out soon, the name of which I can't remember. Mm-hmm. So that's not exactly a yoga resource, but I feel that it's greatly informed how I teach yoga and how I practice yoga. So mm-hmm. it is a yoga resource.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of Gil Headley and his online anatomy videos. He mm-hmm. is awesome. Gil Headley, if you have a chance, go on YouTube, look him up. He's mm-hmm. got a whole bunch of amazing videos. He does holistic human dissection, which might sound creepy, but he does it in the most respectful and like spiritual way. And it's just, it's truly beautiful to see the body presented in that way.
My teacher, mm-hmm. she said if we could ever do a full on cadaver dissection, to do it.
That's my professional goal, is to go and study with him. He does it like once a year in New Jersey for a week. Yeah. So,
nice.
And I think in Scotland too. So, like, probably will go to New Jersey. Anyway, those are the two that I really enjoy the most. At this point.
That's great. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
And then finally, and you know, this could be very obvious or not, but what is your favorite yoga class that you take?
Oh man.
Either here at Abide or if you go anywhere else to practice.
Okay, so like while it depends on how I'm feeling and what I need, I am a huge, huge, huge fan of at Abide here, Gwendolyn Hashimoto's Wednesday night restorative yoga class. She is trained in Reiki, and she just has the most creative approach to restorative yoga. She's a lovely teacher. So that's probably my favorite, and I try to get to that one as often as I can.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'd like to try that class. It's been on my radar. And I love her posts online. She does have this creative approach. It seems very, very unique, which we all need a different perspective on a traditional practice.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And she brings that for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, we're finished. Thank you.
Yay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
High five.
We did it.
We did it. Thank you so much.
Hello everyone, it's Zen Jen again. So thanks for listening in to the interview with Hope Hood. I hope you enjoyed it. She's quite the character with an interesting and unique personality, which makes her studio so unique. So continue listening, please. And now for my interview with Annie Siegel about the same teacher training and a little bit more about her and her background.
So we're here at Abide Yoga on Larchmere in Shaker Square, Larchmere neighborhood. And I'm talking with Annie Siegel about her new upcoming teacher training at Abide Yoga. It will be a 200-hour yoga teacher training program, and it begins mid-October.
Correct?
Okay. All right, cool. So tell me, this is kind of a three-part question. Okay. So what will be the focus of this particular YTT? What makes it unique, and who would benefit from it?
Okay.
So feel free to answer one at a time or whatever.
Okay. So, I mean, I'd like to say from the beginning, I do feel like it's a really well-rounded program. Mm-hmm. I think that I'll go into what I think makes it unique, because I think, you know, yoga teacher training 200, you have to cover the breadth of the knowledge, and you know, we are aligned with Yoga Alliance, so we follow the guidelines. So there's a lot of things that need to be covered. What I think our teacher training is going to offer that might be unique is an emphasis on teaching methodology. I think that you can love yoga and you can love practicing yoga, but that doesn't necessarily, even if you're like the most, you know, amazing yoga practitioner ever, you still need to learn how to be a teacher. And I think one of the things our training will offer is really taking a look at what makes you an effective communicator. How to be a teacher. Like, how to assess different learning styles in a classroom. How to read a room. How to meet your students' needs. Like, why to demonstrate? Why to assist? You know, like, why do you need to do these things? We're going to take a really deep look at how to be a teacher. That's one of my strengths, I think. I was a school teacher prior to becoming a yoga teacher. I have a master's in education, and so I've really studied it. Yeah. So I think that's a nice bonus to our program. I also think our program is really going to explore the softer side of yoga. While I know both Hope and I love a nice vinyasa flow class, we also really treasure quieter moments, moments of stillness, getting into a yin class, slowing it down for a slow flow that's really, really a meditation in motion.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Getting into meditation, really getting into like helping people hear themselves again. You know, like we're just this crazy technology-driven society, and there's like so many, there's so much stimulation, and I think that people really need to kind of find that quiet again, and so I want to help, you know, provide more teachers that can do that for people, because I know I get a really good response from people when I do that in my teaching.
Absolutely.
So I think it's something that's really needed.
It's definitely needed. So a lot of people go into, or question about teacher training is, do I have to become a teacher? And you don't, but it's a way to deepen your practice. But who do you think would benefit from participating in this teacher training?
I can't think of anybody who wouldn't benefit.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It really is for everybody.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. To do whatever you want with it.
Yeah.
Really.
What are you most excited about in teaching this particular program here in this community?
Well, this is just such a receptive community. They really love to be here.
Yeah.
And they really want to slow down, and they really want to feel good.
Yeah.
And so it's lovely to be part of this community. Personally, I'm so excited to take my own teaching to the next level. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I've been teaching yoga for over a decade, and like in that process, I've gotten married and had babies and raised babies into, you know, my kids are school age now, and there's like that little piece of me that feels like, wow, you know, like I can actually like do something for me. And so for me, it's like, I'm not quite ready to travel and right. and get away, you know, like I still want to be home with my kids, but this like I can sink into, and it gives me something to focus on and to learn more, and like for me to pass on and start to teach teachers is just like awesome. You know, I'm really excited to learn more and just refine what I know and pass it on and help people. Yeah. Helpers. And I think at heart, I've always been somebody who has been in the helping profession.
Yeah.
You know, like that's just, I'm a nurturer at the core.
Yeah.
And so it's just like another way for me to do what I do.
And that's kind of my next question. You kind of started going into that. What do you feel like the difference is between teaching the regular students who show up in your class, which I don't want to say regular because no one's regular, but
right.
versus teaching teachers?
Well, there's a little bit more responsibility, like for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that when you know, my focus when I'm teaching classes to students, you know, just a drop-in class is really helping people to quiet down, to like find their own way. Mm-hmm. You know, I really try to get people to explore and find their own path. You know, I give a lot of options in my class. I don't like to tell people what to do, you know? And so it's a little different in teaching people how to do that, you know? So I think, I guess for me, it's teaching people to be responsible, you know? Like,
that's great.
You're not just responsible for yourself, but, you know, people come to yoga for lots of different reasons, and it's really,
yeah,
it's a responsibility.
Yeah.
People are vulnerable, and they all have different needs, and like, your job is to, like, look at these people, like, really look at them, and
absolutely,
make sure you're not, you know, you need to be careful with people.
Yeah.
With their bodies, with what they've been through, with, like, their emotion, you know, people connect, and you know, I think it's really important for teachers to, like, teach with their eyes on their students.
Absolutely.
So they can see what's happening, so they can, like, change course if they need to. So, yeah, I think the big difference is, like, a responsibility thing.
Love that. That's a great answer.
Yeah.
Very good.
So then, let's see here. Why did you originally take this journey, take this step to become a yoga teacher way back, like, more than 10 years ago?
Yeah. I was literally, I, like, remember, like, the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a yoga studio in New York. I was living in New York. And I was in a class, and it was just like, I was like listening to the teacher, and I thought, I think that I could do that. Like, literally.
Yes.
I was like, I think, like, that's what I should do.
Yeah.
And that was it. Like, it really was it. I've always been very, like, mind-body connected.
Yeah.
I did a lot of community theater growing up, and I studied, like, acting, and I was always taking dance classes, you know, and all of that stuff. We used to do a lot of mind-body things, you know, like getting centered and calming down before you, like, go on to perform and all that stuff. Like, that was what appealed to me. Like, that was, like, so cool to learn how to breathe, you know, and I was just always interested in that.
Yeah.
It always resonated with me. I always needed to move my body, you know, like, sitting still was not, I never wanted to just, like, sit at a desk, you know, it wasn't, so it was really.
Yoga's unique in that way because everyone needs to move, and I think as you become a yoga teacher, some people moved into it in the physical aspect and they were athletes, but not everyone is athletic.
Right.
So yoga is kind of an incredible movement for the body that's for everybody, even if you're non-athletic, anybody can do yoga.
Absolutely.
And I know a lot of people. I was athletic. That's kind of I was drawn to the physical aspect of yoga. But I've noticed that in general, people who are non-athletic and they come to a yoga class and they're like, oh my gosh, I can do this.
Yeah. Mobility is huge.
Mobility. Anybody can move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's makes you feel good.
Absolutely. Let's see here. I'm not going to talk about any of the Dudas stuff. That's for Hope.
That's for Hope.
Yeah,
because
I know she's going to incorporate some of that into the teaching. So we kind of talked a little bit about this, but when I was in my 500-hour teacher training, one of the best assignments that I had was creating a mission statement.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Lorna and Janet who gave us that assignment. Janice, who gave us that assignment. Do you yourself have a mission statement as a teacher, or what would you say, I mean, off the cuff?
If I had to come up with one, it would be my mission as a teacher is to help people get quiet enough so that they can figure out what they need to do to feel balanced. Okay? So, like...
Beautiful.
Yeah, like when I'm teaching a class, I'm like, you know, when, you know, you get to that part where, you know, in a vinyasa class, if you're going to teach a chaturanga, I'm always like, you do, what does your body need to come back into balance? Because we're here to bring your body and mind into balance. And if doing like 50 chaturangas is what you need to do, like, then fine.
Yeah.
But I don't know that most people need to do that. You know, like, most of us, like, need to, like, sit a few
out. Go a little deeper.
Yeah. So that's kind of my goal. And when I start to see people coming again and again, and I start to see them, like, choosing something different, I'm like, yes. Yeah, and I have a couple of students who like will stay in Shavasana.
Nice.
Like when it's time to be done. Yes. And I'm like, that's so beautiful.
That's brilliant.
You know? I'm like, they're like, I don't care if people are getting up and like cleaning up their mat and leaving, like I'm not done yet.
Yeah.
And that's really neat.
Yeah. So. You do foster that in your classes. You have a gift of allowing people to be free. And offering a lot of options, and that's one of the things I love about your class.
Thank you.
Yeah. I need to come back soon. let's see here. So, and again, it's kind of funny how your answers just kind of go right to the next question, which is what should people expect when they come to your class? And that could be also this yoga teacher program as to how you're going to lead them, but also just a regular group class.
Yeah. I do like to say right off the bat that I'm typically like unapologetically slow. Just kind of like, I got to the point where like, I was like, I'm not going to try to speed up. And you know, there was like that point in my teaching where I was like, everybody's like faster and sweatier. And then I was like, wait, it's just not me. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because like sometimes I don't mind like practicing that way, but it's really just like, I just can't do it. It's just not who I am. And I've gotten to a point where I'm like, this is who I am.
Yeah.
Take it or leave it. You know, like I move slow.
Yeah.
I talk slow.
It's quite comforting actually.
Well, and that's the response I get.
It is.
So that's what I do. Mm-hmm. You know, I've kind of gotten to the point where I've kind of figured out what works for me, you know? And so, like if you, to expect to come from my class, it's going to be, we're going to take our time. Mm-hmm. We're going to get centered. Mm-hmm. We're going to like let the shit go away a little bit. And then we're going to get into a little bit of a groove, and then we're going to quiet down again. Yeah. And then we're going to sit again, you know, and then we're going to let it go.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. I will say, being a student in your class, that even though it's slow, you have the ability to make it challenging too.
Yeah, I do. I do try to do that. Like, yeah. I wouldn't call my class a gentle class.
It's definitely not gentle.
It's just slow.
It's just slow. Yeah. So slow doesn't always mean gentle.
No, and I think there's a big difference between that, and it can get blurred.
Yeah.
Between understanding and even like how people call their classes on a schedule, and sometimes it's a little bit of a. One of my pet peeves, I'm like, wait, this should be called gentle and this should be called slow flow, because there's a difference.
It is.
And I think there's a need for both.
There is a need for both. And then each teacher tends to interpret the same class in so many different ways.
Absolutely.
So yeah, class titles are, it's a tricky business.
It's tricky. It is tricky.
For any yoga studio owner, how to name a yoga class. Yeah,
absolutely.
So I always like to ask too, and this is a question that I hear on one of my favorite podcasts called Liberated Body.
Yeah, I listen to that.
And she asks her interviewees, what are you working on in your own practice?
Yeah. It won't surprise you that I'm working on the same thing that I teach. For me, it's trying to listen to what my body needs.
Yeah.
It's really hard when I come to my mat to turn off the teacher voice. It's so hard. And I know that, you know, it's really impossible to like completely turn it off.
Yeah.
And not to think about planning a class while I'm on my own mat. That's the hardest part, is I'll like start to move and be like, oh, this feels really good. Like I should, and then I'm like, no, I shouldn't. Like if it pops up, I'll do it. It's just getting into that space where I'm breathing and I'm just like letting it organically happen. And it's hard.
It is. That's really well said. I didn't even realize that I was doing that until you just said that. Whenever I do my home practice, I do. I'll stop and, oh, that's a great sequence. I think I'll teach that.
Yeah.
I need to stop that.
It's hard.
Yeah, it is. Totally. Great answer. Love that. So the theme of my podcast this season is about helping people to relieve stress and live well. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask you, what do you do in your everyday life? Do you have like a technique or a tool that you use that's like a, you know, a go-to to relieve stress in the moment or just on an overall basis?
I'm a big sigher. Yeah. And my husband points it out to me all the time. He'll be like, "What? Why are you making that?" And I'm like, "I'm just breathing, you know." Yeah. Like, but I think
it's a release.
I'm a big breather, you know. Like when I'm like that's a go-to for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even just like stretching, you know, like yoga, obviously, but breathing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was thinking about this, and I was like, one of the things that is the most stress-relieving to me, and this is so, I'm sure so many people can relate, is, like, I'm an animal lover, and I have pets.
Yes.
It is, like, so therapeutic. Yes. I'm a big fan of just, like, you know, petting animals, yes, snuggling with them. I find a lot of stress release in that. It's, like, a simple thing, but...
It's genuine connection with another being that's not going to talk back to you.
Yeah, exactly.
And that gives you the best greeting.
Unconditional love.
It's unconditional love and gives you the best greeting when you come home
every
day.
Yeah. I've been talking for years about, I really want to get my dog trained as a therapy dog.
Yeah.
It's like on my list of things that I want to do is be able to take him to be a therapy dog, so... Because I think I see so much, you know, for me, it's just, he's like the best.
I'm sure a lot of people will be able to relate to that for sure.
I think so.
Do you have like a regular daily routine or self-care regimen that you find beneficial? I know with being a mother and schedules changing often, routine can be difficult, but do you have anything like that in your life?
I wish I did. It's something that I need. Like, I think about it all the time.
Okay.
You know?
So it's on your list of something to do.
Yeah. I mean, you know, in general, trying to get up every day and make healthy choices with what I put in my body, you know, I mean, makes you feel so much better. Duh. Yeah. Right? You know?
Yeah.
That's like number one. And exercise. I mean, aside from yoga, like I need more, you know, like I love my slow yoga and sitting, but like sometimes I need to like get on a bike and like ride and sweat.
Yeah.
And so that for me is, that's part of my balance.
Yeah. That's great.
Like in a big way. Like I need to tighten up my muscles and sweat.
Yeah.
So that I can do my yoga, and that brings me back into balance.
Yeah.
It is a good balance. So.
Yeah.
That's been part of it.
Nice. What is your favorite yoga resource? It could be a book, could be a website, could be an article.
Yeah. Right now, I am really into the Yoga Land podcast with Andrea Ferretti.
The second person to say that in the last...
That's funny. I, so she's married to Jason Crandall, who is like my favorite yoga teacher.
He's coming back to Cleveland.
I know he is. I actually did some training with him in New York in May, and I've been following him on Yoga Glow since when I had little kids and I like couldn't get out of the house. I found him on Yoga Glow.
Yeah.
And I think he's so smart and has so much to offer. And his wife is like equally like lovely, and she does a great podcast, and I love it. Like I'm like so nerdy that I like wait every week. I'm like, did it come out yet? Did it come out yet? Like, can I listen to it? And I like drive around in my car listening with this big smile on my face.
It's
so
awesome.
I'm like, yes, I get it. So that's right now. I'm just like that. I enjoy.
Yeah.
And then I have to say like Meditations from the Mat. Mm-hmm. Becky was using that this morning, and I was like, I can't. That was probably my first yoga book.
Yeah,
I think it might have been.
Wow.
And I can pick it up anytime and reread. I love. They just got like really good nuggets.
It's good if you're not a yoga teacher.
Yes.
Even if you don't even practice yoga.
Totally.
It's a great book.
It's just a good read.
Yeah, it's a good read.
I find a lot of inspiration and connection with that, and I don't know. I just enjoy that book.
Two good resources. And I will have a a post with every podcast episode that will have resources on there, and I will post that as a resource,
and
too.
Yoga Glow. I mean, that's a great resource.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
And now they have guided meditation on there now. I've been doing that for a long time. I think I was one of, like, the first people on that, and it, just, like, really great people on there to follow.
Yeah. Great. Thank you. And then I have one final question, and you know, I'm trying to be about the whole community here in Cleveland as best I can. So where do you have a favorite yoga class that you like to attend here in Cleveland? It could be anywhere.
Wow.
It might be right here. It might be somewhere else.
Let me think about that. I mean, right now, probably Hope's the In class is pretty top on my list.
Yeah.
I haven't found anyone else who can lead a Yin class like her.
Yeah.
She is really good at it.
Yeah.
And something about her whole, everything from the music to, like, her little nuggets of wisdom, and she's just really chill.
She's ultimately chill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's her vibe. Yeah. And she's, like, so clearly, like, walks her walk.
Yeah.
And I think that's another really appealing thing.
Yeah.
About her and her class. But I think her Yin class is fabulous.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, actually.
It's probably, like, the biggest treat.
It is. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you so much for hanging out with me and chatting with me and being a part of my new venture.
I love it. I've been, like, getting into the whole podcast scene, and I was kind of excited to be part of a podcast, so thank you for asking me.
It's a pleasure. You're one of my favorites in Cleveland, and I'm so happy for you to have this opportunity and Hope and this community, which is a well-deserving community of an excellent YTT program. So
thank you.
Best of luck to you guys. I hope it goes well. And it will. It's going to be awesome. Just to mention, you've had how many people just signed up today? Three people signed up today.
Yep.
So that's
pretty
all.
Yeah. It's very exciting.
It's exciting.
It's happening.
It's happening.
Yeah.
It's happening. So thank you.
Okay, everybody, so thank you for listening in for the whole hour. That's all I have for you today. I hope you enjoyed both Hope and Annie's interview. They are really two incredible teachers here in Cleveland, and setting up for what seems to be a fabulous 200-hour yoga teacher training. So I hope you all have a fabulous week. Until next time, thanks again for listening.